A reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So today, as you might have guessed from our last hymn, I'm going to talk about vision. Now, those of you in the corporate or nonprofit arenas might roll your eyes or even groan a little if you've ever been through a process of trying to craft a vision or mission statement. Perhaps your experience has been that they end up being a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. I can appreciate that. But my hope is that we can set those associations aside to look more closely at what it means to have a vision. To dream the dreams that reflect God's purposes for ourselves and for our world. Of course, vision can mean different things, right? There's the natural meaning of how well we can see the world around us. Without my glasses, my vision is about 2400, which means that what the average person can see from 400 feet away, I have to be within 20 feet to see clearly. There's a more supernatural meaning of vision, suggesting an image or an experience that comes from God. It's either a prediction of the future or some metaphorical explanation of the present. People who have those kinds of visions are often considered mystics or prophets. Or at least, we like to separate them from us in that way. And then there's a meaning that's somewhere in between the natural and the supernatural. And that's to think of vision as an image of what might be, an image that is so compelling, so deeply connected to our values, that it becomes almost a sacred goal. And in the same way, we can speak of dreams as different kinds of things, as perhaps mysterious or uncontrolled gifts during sleep, or dreams, daydreams, as the idle imaginings of different possible present or future realities. But like Martin Luther King Jr., we can also speak of a dream as a passion, as a guiding vision. The quotation in your bulletins, The Thought for Meditation, comes from futurist Joel Barker, and it identifies the importance of converting our dreams or our visions into action. The vision, though necessary, is not enough by itself. And yet, even without a conscious plan for action, how we see the world drives how we interact with it. If our vision tells us that the world is a dangerous and frightening place, and there is plenty of evidence to support that vision, as we saw in the news this week in the story of Jessica Ridgway, then we might be inclined to live in ways that are defensive, protective, possibly even isolating, possibly even violent. But if our vision of the world is of a place with abundant resources and possibilities for connection, for sustainability, for relationship, if our vision is that people basically desire to be in relationship, to find healing, and to do good in the world, then that changes what we do. We might find that we cling a little less tightly to our possessions or to our means of protection. Over the past several months, our church, Highlands, has been involved in a process called the Urban Academy. This is an ongoing process through the next year that really focuses on the importance of having a vision in order to develop our plan for ministry in connecting with our neighborhood. Because where you set your sights determines both where you are headed and how you make your way there. When I was in college on a family vacation, I was privileged to have an opportunity for a hang gliding lesson. Just the one time, but what I remember from that experience was that where I looked with the glider strapped above me determined where I traveled in a very literal and concrete way. Keeping my eyes on the horizon would keep the glider moving smoothly. Looking down would bring me down probably a little too fast. Looking up could raise me up higher on the wind until I was out of control. Where you set your sights determines where you are going. And in fact, studies have shown that having a sense of vision, a positive image of future possibilities for ourselves, makes a tremendous difference in all kinds of different groups of people, from low-income school children who find the commitment and the perseverance and the drive to graduate from high school and go on to college when somebody sets a vision for them and provides the means for them to get there, to those who suffered the horrors of concentration camps in the Second World War, where they found that those who survived were those who had a sense that they had something still to complete in their lives. And it extends even to entire nations. The nations who face economic challenges, if they are able to find a guiding vision, they are able to unite internally and to accomplish great things with just that sense of who they are and who they could become. So, what is the vision for us here at Highlands United Methodist Church? What are our dreams for the future? The vision statement, composed by our Urban Academy team and brought before our administrative council, reads, "We will be a diverse community where all people can see their lives whole and know that they matter to God, to us, and in the world." That's our vision statement that we're working with now, and it's printed in your bulletin, and I invite you to take it home, reflect on that in the coming weeks. Over these next 5 weeks or so, we will be breaking that statement down one phrase at a time through our sermons each week, and so we'll have plenty of opportunity for conversation about what it means. Our vision statement starts out with the phrase, "We will be," because a vision implies that who we are is not who we may become. Throughout history, prophets have looked at the world with an openness to God's dreams and have declared that God is not finished with us yet, so we shouldn't get too comfortable with the status quo. The song that the choir sang this morning asks the question, "What shall we become?" It was written by a clergy colleague of Pastor Brad's and mine, the Reverend Brian Rickey, who serves up in Loveland now, and he wrote it in response to the terrorist attacks of September 11th, 2001. I find it a powerful reflection on the truth that we are always becoming, always changing, and we need to pay attention to what shapes us and our world in that process. Jesus goes about his ministry with a vision. And here at the beginning of Mark's gospel, his vision is both an image of what could be and a way of seeing the world as it is currently. The kingdom of God is at hand. It is very near. It is in our midst. It is within us and among us. On days like today, with the sun shining and the fresh snow on the mountains, you can almost perceive that sense that heaven is about to break forth into our current reality. And so Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so we need to repent, which just means to turn away from our usual way of being and doing. in order to respond to the presence of God in our midst. The vision that Jesus proclaims is in keeping with the visions of the prophets and the psalmists. The prophets Isaiah, Micah, Amos, and Joel all proclaimed God's dreams, God's purposes or intentions for the world. Visions that every family would have their own vines and fig trees, and no one could make them afraid. Visions that swords would be beaten into plowshares, that lions would lie down with lambs, that the people of the covenant could return to their homeland in safety and celebration. These are dreams and visions of a world characterized by economic security, even for the poorest in society, characterized by an end to war and violence, by social justice and peace, the eradication of unnecessary human suffering, something that God cares passionately about, according to the prophets. In Luke's gospel, Jesus quotes directly from the prophet Isaiah when he explains what his ministry is about: to proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, and the year of Jubilee, a year of debt forgiveness and freedom. Here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus' vision is put a little more concisely, and it's immediately followed by action, which for those who may have studied the Gospel of Mark is very typical of that gospel, all about the action. So Jesus casts this vision not only for his work, but for those he encounters, and an invitation for them to join him in his work. Come with me, and I will make you fishers of people. Well, perhaps fishing for people isn't quite as compelling an invitation for us today as it was for Simon, Andrew, James, and John. But as fishermen, they jumped on board, so to speak, with an immediate understanding of what that could mean. I think it's important to note that Jesus didn't use the same language each time he invited new people to join him. He spoke of his vision with different words and images in ways that each person could grasp. And we know that the traditional language of faith is sometimes a barrier for people today. And so we may need to find new metaphors, new images, new ways of explaining what faith means to us and what our vision is for the world in inviting others to join us on the journey. And as we begin walking our neighborhood and getting to know this community a little bit better, I hope we'll have some of those conversations together. Above all, we want to keep dreaming God's dreams. Not that we can't have our own personal dreams too. I think part of what it means to be created in God's image is to have the capacity to imagine a different future for ourselves, as well as for society and our planet. But it is important that our visions stay big enough, that we don't focus all of our energy inward, becoming smaller than God intends us to be. And our visions must also be open enough that if we start to drift from the abundant life that Jesus proclaims and desires for us, that we can pay attention to whatever nudges or whispers of the Spirit will lead us back in the direction of wholeness and transformation. And so it is our hope here among the Urban Academy team and pastoral leadership that we, as the people of Highlands United Methodist Church, will also be dreaming God's dreams for our congregation. We have begun these plans to connect with the community by walking the neighborhood, and I encourage you to sign up if you haven't already. Our committees are currently in a budgeting and planning process to figure out what the size and shape of our ministries will be in the coming year. And let me just emphasize how important it is that all of you who can come to one of our informational meetings next Sunday and Monday to learn about some of the challenges that we're facing, as well as the opportunities. There is this tension in planning ministry. On the one hand, we have to take into account financial and other practical realities. And on the other hand, God calls us to continue stepping out in faith, sometimes without knowing where all the resources are going to come from. which tends to mean that it may be more helpful to start by asking, what are we called to do, rather than what can we afford? Which is why this year our stewardship campaign is focusing on vision. Our hope that this vision that we have put together is part of God's dreams as a starting point for talking about stewardship and the practices that make it up: gratitude, generosity, faithfulness, and discipline. Now, I know we don't like talking about money, at least not my money or your money, as opposed to politicians' or celebrities' money. That's a little easier to talk about. But, my friends, the Bible is full of reflections on how money relates to our spiritual lives. So, as awkward as it may seem, we're going to talk about it. Now, I'm not asking for your tax returns or your credit card receipts or anything like that. But I do want you to know that when either of us asked you to give generously to the ministries of the church, I'm not asking just as someone whose salary depends on your giving. I'm asking as someone who believes in what we do here. And so, as awkward as it may be, I want you to know that I have tithed my take-home income to this church since 2006, the first year I was working full-time after seminary. A tithe is 10%. And currently, Dave and I give a little bit more than 10% of our net income, though it's less than 10% of our gross. There are different ways of applying that standard to this church, in addition to supporting other meaningful causes and organizations that we believe are doing God's work in the world. I'm not telling you this to boast or to compare with anybody else, but I want to let you know that I believe in the vision and the mission of Highlands enough to invest in it through gifts of time and money that go beyond what my job here requires. Now, there are many ways of giving, many ways of contributing to our vision and our mission other than writing checks, from serving as ushers and greeters and acolytes to helping clean out our gardens in the spring, from teaching Sunday school to bringing peanut butter or bread for our ministry in Civic Center Park. These are all important, and they are all necessary for living out our vision together, and I am so grateful for all who contribute in those ways. And so I hope that if you believe in what we are doing here, if you believe that what we do here is God's work, both in our local community and through our wider church around the world, I hope that you will prayerfully consider the possibility of increasing your own investment and involvement this year. So, what shall we become? The vision proposed by our Urban Academy team is that we will be a diverse community where all people can see their lives whole and know that they matter to God, to us, and in the world. We are always in the process of becoming, and God is at work within us and among us to bring to life the dream of a world of wholeness and right relationships, of justice and love and compassion and peace for all people and for all creation. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, ready to break through right in our midst. And so let us join together in dreaming God's dreams, in seeing with Christ's vision, and in following the leading of the Spirit to become who God has created and called us to be. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.